Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, Text Number 5. Bhum yam bhavagnani lakkasa. Bhum yam bhavagnani lakkasa. Bhutanam panchadhatava. Abrahmastavaradina Sharira Atma Sangyuta. Bhumi, earth. Ambu, water. Agni, fire. Anila, air. Akasha, sky or ether. Bhutana, of all conditioned souls. Pancha, the five. Dhatava, basic elements. Abrahma, from Lord Brahma. Stavara Adina, down to the non-moving creatures. Sharira, used for the construction of the material bodies. Atma, to the Supreme Soul. Sanyuta, equally related. Translation, earth, water, fire, air, and ether are the five basic elements that constitute the bodies of all conditioned souls, from Lord Brahma himself down to the non-moving creatures. These elements all emanate from the one personality of Godhead. Purport, all material bodies are composed of different proportions of the same five gross elements, which emanate from the one personality of Godhead and cover the living entities who are all in the jiva category. The concepts of good and bad depend on the choice of the Supreme Lord and not on the inherent qualitative differences in material objects. A Krishna-conscious person ultimately sees all material phenomena as one. The devotee's good behavior, intelligent discrimination, and artistic sense within the material world are all based on the will of God. The material elements, being emanations from the Supreme Lord, are ultimately all non-different. However, advocates of mundane piety fear that if the material duality of good and bad is minimized, people will become immoral or anarchistic. Certainly, the impersonal and atheistic philosophy preached by modern scientists, in which material variety is reduced to mere mathematical descriptions of molecular and atomic particles, leads to immoral society. Although both material science and Vedic knowledge uncover the illusion of material variety and reveal the ultimate oneness of all material energy, only the devotees of Lord Krishna are surrendered to the supreme absolute piety of God's will. Thus they always act for the benefit of all living entities, accepting material variety in the Lord's service according to the Lord's desire. Without Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, people cannot understand the absolute position of spiritual goodness. Instead, they artificially try to construct a civilization based on interdependent self-interest on the material platform. Such a foolish arrangement easily collapses, as evidenced by widespread social conflict and chaos in the modern age. All members of a civilized society must accept the absolute authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then social peace and harmony will not rest on the flimsy relative platform of mundane piety and sin. Bhumyam, that's okay. Bhumyam bhavagnyani laksh kasa bhutanam pancha tatava abrahma stavaradinam sarira atma sangyuta. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether are the five basic elements that constitute the bodies of all conditioned souls, from Lord Brahma himself down to the non-moving creatures. These elements all emanate from the one personality of Godhead. So we can perceive a variety in the material world, but we have to understand the source of that variegatedness, which is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me." So we are entangled in this material world and may have been entangled here for very long time, many, many, many lifetimes. Who knows how many lifetimes we have been entangled in the material world. Of course, some of the devotees may be directly sent from the spiritual world by Krishna himself to preach Krishna consciousness here. Just as we think of the acharyas like that, isn't it? Just that they're sent directly by Krishna. But we ourselves consider we must have been here for a long time, struggling in the material world, transmigrating from one body to another, and somehow, by good fortune, we have come in contact with Krishna consciousness. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadipai Bhakti Lata Bij. So Prabhupada translates the verse that living entities are wandering throughout the material creation, sometimes in higher position and sometimes in a lower position. Brahmanda Brahmite. Brahmite means wandering. Brahmanda means universe. Wandering throughout the universe. Kono Bhagyavan Jeev. That a fortunate, Bhagyavan means fortunate, Jeev, the fortunate living entity. Guru Krishna Prasade, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, Bhakti Lata Bij Pai. He gets the seed of devotional service. Then it's a verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya. He continues, Mali Hao Kore A Bij Aropan. Mali Hao Kore. One should become a Mali, gardener. A bijaropan, and water this seed. Shravana kirtana jali, through the chanting, hearing and chanting, Kriya Sitchan. One should water it through the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we are very fortunate. This is a special mercy, of course, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are now in a Kali Yuga. It's a very disturbed age. As the Bhagavatam says, in this age of Kali, men have got short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed.
This is the position. But kaler doshanite rajan. O king, raja, kaler dosha nidhe. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Dosha, ocean of faults. Asti eka mahan guna. But there is one good quality. Kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha samachara. By the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, one can attain perfection. One can go to the spiritual world. This is the great redeeming quality of Kali Yuga. And in the fifth canto it is said that even there are demigods who are queuing to take birth on the earthly planet in Kali Yuga to join the Sankirtan movement. Normally Prabhupada said, demigods, they won't even like to come here to urinate in Kali Yuga, normally. As he said, no place for a gentleman in the material world in Kali Yuga. But they are queuing to take birth because in normally the lifespan of the demigods is very long, and but there are distractions, many distractions in the heavenly planets. You see, comfortable living facilities and sense gratification. So the tendency is to become attached and entangled and not to give sufficient attention to spiritual practice. But Kali Yuga is a very unpleasant sort of environment to live in. And also the lifespan is short. Not very long, you see, like in heavenly planets. So the demigods, therefore, those demigods who are very serious to advance in spiritual life, they think that better to go to earthly planet because there's nothing attractive there in material life. And also by joining the Sankirtan movement, one can make rapid spiritual advancement, and a lifespan is short, so one can attain perfection quickly. So this good calculation actually is rather than remaining, you know, entangled a long time in sense gratification in the heavenly planets, better tolerate the, you know, inconveniences of Kali Yuga, because that's an impetus to be more serious about spiritual life. And then, you know, one can attain perfection. Pure Krishna consciousness, he can go back to Godhead. So, this is a real intelligent thinking, actually. And we should also, we're already here. They may be queuing. Some of the devotees must be demigods also, isn't it? Who have been in the queue. And they got birth already in a Sankirtan movement. Demigods do come to the earthly planet also to join a Sankirtan. Even if they don't come and take birth, they may come just to visit. You may not be able to see. Isn't it? Correct or not? What? He told? Yes. This was in London Temple. I was there at that time. It's a very blessed temple, which is the forerunner of Soho Street Temple. But very blessed temple is the place where Prabhupada installed Shishi Radha Londoneshwara, which are the first large Radha Krishna deities in the movement, and Prabhupada loved them very much. Actually, it's a nice story how he got those deities. When they were building the temple, getting it ready, Prabhupada was living in John Lennon's estate, when he first came to England, Sam Sundar Prabhu, you know, he was at GBC. He had very good contacts with the Beatles. And he, you know, somehow they devoted Mukundam Maharaj, Sam Sundar, Gurudas, and their wives. That they were the ones that came to London in the beginning. And that was, you know, the time of the sort of hippie revolution, and it was a very time of experimentation, liberality, and this music from England, especially USA and England, of course, but this was rock music, pop music. It was became very popular in the 1960s, and the Beatles became very prominent. Very prominent personalities, actually influenced, you know, Western civilization very much. Not so much, maybe Indian civilization, but Western civilization. Russia also, they influenced a lot. Hare Krishna and the Beatles were considered very dangerous for communism. they were banned, and they used to make bootleg their Beatles record by using X-ray, you know, X-rays, the films. Somehow they could manufacture, isn't it, Stoka Krishna? They could manufacture these records bootleg like that, and they would sell them on underground like that. Anyway, the Beatles were very prominent, and of course they also began, you know, they were experimenting with the expansion of consciousness by taking various psychedelic drugs, and they also became interested in Indian civilization. They became interested in meditation as taught by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and they even went to India, I think, spent some time in his ashram, and then again they became interested in Krishna consciousness, especially George Harrison and John Lennon. And so Sam Sundar, he had good contacts, and they made recording of the devotees chanting. I think that's where I first heard Hare Krishna mantra. There was a record produced by George Harrison of the devotees chanting Hare Krishna. And of course then, as a follow-up, he also produced a Govinda Madhi Purusha. We're, you know, at the deity greeting in all the temples all over the world, and the Prabhupada liked it so much, he had this recording played. So every morning we were hearing the same recording produced by George Harrison. And these records became very popular. They became like number one hits in many countries. And the devotees became like a famous band. And they were doing performances all over UK and other parts of Europe, Germany and Holland. They were on TV. They had a Top of the Pops. I was reading how, you know, usually in Top of the Pops they had these, you know, young ladies dancing in mini skirts to the different records that were being played. But when the devotees were performing, they had them all in saris. So anyway, Beatles were well-wishers of the devotees, and George Harrison and John Lennon especially. And John Lennon offered, when Prabhupada was coming to England for the first time in 1969, end of 1969, the devotees didn't have a temple ready. The very place temple was being renovated by Sam Sundar Prabhu. And so he arranged for Prabhupada to stay at John Lennon's estate. And Prabhupada lived, I think, for about six or 8 weeks There was some other buildings. He had a big property. He lived in the main house, and there were some other buildings there where Srila Prabhupada and the devotees lived. They made a temporary temple there, and they had nice facilities. And during that time, there were no deities of Radha Krishna to install in the new temple. But an Indian gentleman from some Hindu society offered them some deities because I think Radharani's hand was a little bit chipped. The finger had broken off. I think they still had the finger, but the Hindus didn't really want to install them there in their temple because, you know, they felt the deity's not perfect. So they were maybe thinking of getting another deity, and they had somehow offered to the devotees. And Prabhupada went there with Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Mukunda Maharaj and, I don't know, Guru Dasamson or someone else. They went there and they went into the man's living room. The deities were in the corner. They were covered over by a cloth. And Prabhupada just started talking to the man and, you know, making a lot of polite conversation. I think at one point they took the cloth. Prabhupada said, let's have a look at the deities. And they took the cloth. And Prabhupada said, yes, very nice deities. And he said to Samsundar, Tamal, just take these, you know, put them in the van immediately. And the man was saying, no, Swamiji, we will deliver them to you. But I don't know, maybe he wanted some money or something. I'm not sure exactly. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't quite ready to give them over completely, but Prabhupada just kept talking to him, you know, and he told his devotees to go quickly. And as soon as they were in the van, Prabhupada just got up and said, thank you very much, and they left. So in that way, the first deities, Radhalanda Nishwara, were brought and installed in that temple, a very blessed temple. So they were very dear to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Sri Radhalanda Nishwara. Very, very dear. And Prabhupada had their picture put on the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. When it was first published in two volumes, their picture's there on the first volume. And Rukmini Dwarkadish are on the second, or the other way around, I'm not sure. But both sets of deities were said to be especially dear to Prabhupada. Of course, Prabhupada loved all the deities. He installed so many deities, like here also. He installed all the deities here, isn't it? Prabhupada. In Auckland also, all the deities, Radhagird, Hari, Jagannath, Subhadana, Shishi, Gornitai, they're all installed by Srila Prabhupada personally. Here in Sydney also, isn't it? Radha Gopinath were installed. I think they were the first deities. And when Prabhupada left here, he later revealed to the devotees that he had prayed to Krishna that I'm leaving you in the hands of the malechas. Please somehow guide them, please help them. Because, devotees were just new devotees and got initiation first, second, very quickly. Somehow or other they had to worship the deities, preach Krishna consciousness. But of course, by the inspiration of Srila Prabhupada, they were able to do all of those things. And therefore we have today many nice temples and deities, and movement is quite expanded and well known throughout the country, throughout so many countries. This is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by his transcendental potency. So Lord Chaitanya then has shown a special mercy, Lord Krishna in fact, by appearing as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and inaugurating the Sankirtan movement, giving opportunity for persons who would otherwise just be immersed in Kali Yuga to take to the transcendental process of devotional service to the Lord. So we have to recognize the good fortune that we have in coming in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement, and getting this opportunity. An intelligent person will apply these instructions in his life. And hear and chant about Krishna on a regular basis. If we want to remain steady in Krishna consciousness, we have to hear and chant on a regular basis. On a daily basis. You know. We have to chant our japa. We have to hear from Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita. We have to engage in kirtan. If we can come to the temple and do it, so much the better. Because association gives strength. But otherwise, at home at least, one should also hear and chant about Krishna. Offer one's food to Krishna like that. Make one's home into a temple so that even in this dangerous age of Kali, one can be fixed on the spiritual platform and advance in spiritual life. So it's a wonderful opportunity. We shouldn't waste it. Shouldn't allow ourselves to be dragged back into the whirlpool of material existence. As Lord Krishna says, Mat Chitta Sarvadurgani Mat Prasada Tarishyasi. If you become conscious of me, you can cross over all the obstacles of material life by my grace. But, he says, if you act out of false ego, not hearing me, then you will be lost. Anyway, this story about Radhalandaneshwari is in. It started off because of the point that the demigods, Prabhupada had the actual vyasasans made for the demigods on either side of Sri Sri Radhalandaneshwara. He says, sometime Narada Muni, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they like to come to the Aratik, therefore they should have seats. So he had these small vyasasans made. And still I think to this day they have at least one, I can't remember exactly. But they moved, of course, to the Soho Street Temple. But those deities, very beautiful deities. Another time actually Prabhupada, the devotees are in a program for him, I think it was in New York, somewhere in the States, and very few people came, and the devotees were apologizing to Prabhupada, you know, we're sorry Prabhupada, nobody came. Prabhupada said, no, what do you mean nobody came? Did you not see Narada Muni, Lord Brahma, they were there? They are attracted by the chanting of the holy names. And so demigods do come to join the kirtan. As it says, what? Shiva, Sukha, Narada, Premi, Gada, Gada, is it? Aratik song. That Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they are coming in ecstasy, experiencing ecstasy in the Aratik ceremony. So the material world then is not generally not a place for a gentleman, especially in Kali Yuga. But this Kali Yuga is considered worshipable, is blessed because of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, there is a Yuga avatar in every Kali Yuga that preaches the chanting of the holy names, but this one is special because Lord Krishna appeared just before the beginning of this Kali Yuga, and then personally in his original form, and then he's come again as Lord Chaitanya, which is Radha Krishna combined. So he said the Yuga avatar actually merges into Lord Chaitanya. So he also fulfills the function of the Yuga avatar, but he's much more than the Yuga avatar. He's a very special appearance of the Lord, most merciful form of the Lord, Mahavaranyaya. So therefore, this opportunity is especially available to us to practice Krishna consciousness seriously in Kali Yuga. And we shouldn't waste the opportunity, and we should give the opportunity to others as much as possible by preaching, distributing books, performing Harinam Sankirtan, distributing prasadam, holding programs. So thank you. Any question or comment? Yes, please.
The demigods who give up to take birth in the human body, we tell you, do they go back home, back to the transfer this human life, or do they return to the position of the demigods for the time being, or do they get replaced?
I think they would get replaced. They would go back to Godhead. I'm sure there are many aspirants, many applicants for demigod positions.
So, so might some of Prabhupada's disciples have been such personalities?
Possible. Possible. Why not? Not only Prabhupada's disciples. It could be among the devotees there are many demigods. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
Krishna, you told me, told us sort of story about how the meat was spread.
How what?
He wanted to know how you joined the movement, and we were told that you gave your purse to the devotee when you were coming out. Can you tell us that pastime, please?
Well, I heard those records. I mean, that's probably one of the. That's probably the first way I heard Hare Krishna mantra. So I got interested. I got a Back to Godhead magazine on the street in London, I remember. And then I was going to the States to visit some friends, and I read it on the way, I remember. And then just before I came back, I was in New York, and I saw a huge Harinam party on the street, and a devotee asked me, he came up to me and preached to me and gave me, sold me a BTG, another BTG. He said, please come to the temple. I said, I can't, I'm going back to London tonight. He said, it's all right, you go to the temple there. The address is in the magazine. And I went back to London. I read it on the way back. I read that magazine. And when I got to London, I went to the temple. And the first day when I went, the devotees immediately, it was lunchtime, they gave me prasadam, and then they took me on sankirtan, chanting, for about 3 hours. And when I came back in the evening, then they told me Prabhupada is here, he's lecturing, so you know, I got to hear Prabhupada lecture that first day. And they said, come back again. And I came, after a few days of Sunday, I came back on a Sunday program. And yeah, at that time, when I came in the temple, Vishal Prabhu, some of you may know, he lives in Vrindavan. He's a sort of, you know, portly disciple of Prabhupada. He put a Krishna, one of those big Krishna books in my hand. He said, you know, it's a very auspicious day. The spiritual master will be lecturing later on. You know, should take this book. And I said, how much? He said, £2.50. So I gave him a £5 note, and he said, hold on, I'll bring the change. He went downstairs, because there was a basement, he went downstairs, and came back with a second volume. Said, why don't you take that as well? So I said, okay, and then I gave him my wallet. I said, you can whatever's inside, you can take it. I mean, it wasn't a lot, maybe £15 or something. Then he went downstairs again, and he came back, gave me the wallet, without the money, of course. And he said, we don't use leather here. Like anyway, that's how I got the Krishna books. And then in the evening, after the lecture, the devotee said, if you like to stay, you can stay. Just tomorrow you have to shave your head. So I said, okay. And, next day they shaved my head. And After a few days, there was a devotee who kind of took care of me, Kulashekhar. He was, I think, the first English disciple of Prabhupada. He was very good in, you know, playing the danga, deity worship, preaching, cooking. Also, he knew how to do everything. And he was going to another city to open a temple, and he asked me if I could go with him, and he got permission from the president. So after about 3-4 days in the movement, I went with him. and another devotee was with us. He took us into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada gave his blessings. He said, very nice, bright-faced brahmacharis, and gave us his garland. And then we went to Bristol first, but we had some contact there. We stayed with him. But his father found out that he was, you know, getting interested in Krishna consciousness, and his father came to his apartment and became very angry. And we actually had to lock ourselves in a room, and he was trying to smash the door in it. So he thought we'd better move on. We went to Cardiff. And in Cardiff, there were quite a few young people who were very interested. They'd met the devotees at different, you know, rock festivals. You know, they had these big music festivals in the UK then. All the big bands were playing. The devotees would go and distribute prasadam and have some kirtan and preach. So there were a number of contacts. And they were young hippies, and we stayed with them. After a few days, the third devotee who was with us, someone gave him LSD. And he came to us and he said, everything's blue. I see Krishna everywhere. And he didn't stay with us anymore after that. So there were just two of us. But it was a very good experience, actually. We were just living in the apartments of these different hippies and cooking, you know, big feasts for them and having kirtan, and they were joining in. Kulashekhar would give a lecture. But I had to learn very quickly how to play mridanga and kartels and do arati and cook and preach and give lecture. He had me doing it, all these things, after a couple of weeks. So then we got a small apartment, and we also rented a kind of a hall in one building, which we made into a temple room. And then quite a number of these devotees joined. Narahari was one of them. Narahari Prabhu is here. And Gunarnava Prabhu, he lives up in north in Queensland. Bajahari, Vichitravirya, Janakaraja, devotees like that. They all joined within a few weeks. And there were so many devotees that Kulashekhar told me to go back to London. He said, we don't have enough room here to go back to London. And he said, if I call you back later, you can come. And then when I was in London, the president of Paris Temple came to buy incense from the Spiritual Sky Factory. And he found out I could speak French. So he asked the temple president if I could go with him. So I was sent over to Paris and got initiated in Paris in December 71. That by letter Prabhupada sent the beads in there. But later Kulashekhar called for me to come back, and I went. He got a bigger house. I went back to Cardiff probably about March. And then in April, Keshava Das came from San Francisco to teach the devotees how to do big book distribution. And the president of London, Dayananda Prabhu, he bought a big van. And I was requested to go on that party along with Keshav and Dayananda. So we went to Oxford. He taught us how to distribute big books. We had some big Nectar of Devotions and big Teaching of Lord Chaitanya. And I think first day I sold about 5 on the street. So that way that we started the book distribution, big book distribution in England, traveling Sankirtan. And Keshava went on. I think he either went back, maybe went back to San Francisco after training us a little bit. And then Dayananda, he was married, and his wife and children were in London, so he had to go back, and so he asked me to take charge of the group. So then we went on distributing books. Nrsimha Maharaj was with us at the start, Brishringa. And later then he went, I think, to America, and other Janananda Maharaj and Mahavishnu Maharaj and Bhakti Vijayananda Maharaj. They were all brahmacharis on the same party. And so Bhag Maharaj also sometime he went with us. So most of them almost all became sannyasis that were on that party. And then in July, Prabhupada came for Rath Yatra, and that time I got second initiation at the Rath Yatra festival. The fire sacrifice was performed at Trafalgar Square on the base of Nelson's column. Prabhupada gave a lecture, and we got, some of us got second initiation, some devotees got first initiation. Okay. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samasaita Bhaktivrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi.